case number 25 in the Wu Men Guan. Yang Shan's Dream Talk. The case reads, Yang Shan dreamed a dream. He thought he went to Maitreya's place and sat down in the third seat. A monk there struck with a gravel and announced, Today the talk will be given by the monk of the third seat. Yang Shan stood up, struck with a gavel, and said, The Dharma of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully. Wu Men's Commentary. Now tell me, did he give a perfect talk or did he not? If you open your mouth, you will lose it. If you shut your mouth, you will also miss it. And even if you neither open nor shut your mouth, you're 108,000 miles away from reality. Wu Men's verse. Broad daylight under the blue sky. He expounds a dream while yet a dream. Humbug, humbug. He deceived the whole audience. The enlightenment experience comes in many forms, as many as there are people who have them. With some, it comes as a blinding, that's it, or aha. With others, it is more of a slow creeping, oh, so that's what it's all about. Or maybe nothing definite to point to. Dogen says that one may not necessarily notice that one has become a Buddha. So we cannot pin expectations on the experiences of others. We each have our own. The present case is an example. Yang Shan, whose Japanese name is Kyozan, his dates are 807 to 883 of the Common Era. He was a disciple and heir of Gueshan. Gueshan's Japanese name is Issan. His dates are 771 to 853 of the Common Era. Gueshan was the famous cook at Baijiang's place who kicked over the water bottle and was ordered to establish a monastery at Mount Gui, hence his name, Gueshan. Gueshan and Yangshan together are credited with founding the Gueyang School, the first of the five houses of Chinese Chan. These two were together for a long time and developed a very harmonious relationship, which Yang Shan described as two mouths without a single tongue. One might even compare them to Nan Chuan and Zhao Zhou. The Gueyang school seemed to emphasize harmony and concord rather than the more confrontive style of, say, the Linji school, but certainly with no less rigor. Yang Shan's style can be seen in case number 68 in the Blue Cliff Record, which recounts a meeting between Yang Shan and the formidable San Sheng, a well-known heir of Linji. San Sheng seems to have made a career of visiting other masters and testing them, even at the risk of playing the fool. Yang Shan asked San Sheng, What is your name? San Sheng said, Yang Shan. Yang Shan said, "Yang Shan, that's me." San Sheng said, "My name is San Sheng." Yang Shan roared with laughter. Another example of Yang Shan's brilliance as a master is attested to by the fact that he was nicknamed Little Shakyamuni. This comes from a mythic tale in which a magician from India visits Yang Shan. Yang Shan asked him, "When did you leave India?" The magician said, "This morning." Yang Shan said, "What took you so long?" The magician said, "Oh, I went sightseeing here and there along the way." The unflappable Yang Shan said, "You obviously have occult power, but you haven't yet dreamed of the great occult power of the Buddha Dharma." The magician, deeply impressed, returned to India and told his followers, "I went to China to find Manjushri, and instead I found Little Shakyamuni." So, Yang Shan dreamed a dream. He thought he went to Maitreya's place and sat down on the third seat. A monk there struck with a gravel and announced, "Today the talk will be given by the monk of the third seat." Yang Shan stood up, struck with the gavel, and said, "The Dharma of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully." Now, this dream of Yang Shan's happened when he was still a student of Guishan. And when he reported this dream to his teacher, Guishan approved him, saying, "You have reached the level of a sage." So, this is a dream that we have to take very seriously. We all have dreams at one time or another. All kinds of dreams. There are daydreams, night dreams, dreams of wealth, power, sex, enlightenment, world peace, world war, world domination, dreams of fear, of being naked in a crowd, of walking into a schoolroom, knowing that the final exam is today and that you haven't attended a single class. There are dreams of flying and dreams of dying. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. There's another song that goes, "Last night I had the strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed that all the world agreed to put an end to war." Martin Luther King Jr. said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." An ancient saying goes, "We live in forgetfulness, we die in a dream." In The Tempest, Prospero says, "We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep." Upon waking, we say, "Oh, it was only a dream." only a dream. A dream as opposed to what? To reality? Sometimes we ask of some imperfectly remembered experience, was it real or was it only a dream? But what is so unreal about a dream? What is so real about what we call our waking state? We sleep and dream. What are dreams? Various inchoate images, visions, and feelings that we somehow string together into what seems like a more or less coherent sequence. And while it's happening, we are usually totally convinced of its reality. Just how is this different from what we laughingly refer to as our waking life? We put stuff together in sequence, creating all at once past, future, inside, outside, self, other. My, aren't we busy? Zhuang Zi once dreamed that he was a butterfly. After he woke, he could never decide if he was Zhuang Zi, who had dreamed he was a butterfly, or a butterfly who was dreaming that he was Zhuang Zi. My question is, does it matter? The Diamond Sutra says, all created things are like dreams, illusions, bubbles, shadows, like dew and like lightning. They should be viewed in this way. If we awaken to the truth of things, is that truly awakening? Or is it just entering another dream? I think sometimes of those Russian nested dolls where you open one and inside there's another doll. You open that and inside there's another and another and another. Dreams within dreams within dreams. Yang Shan had a dream. What kind of dream did he have? And how did he present it to his teacher, Gui Shan? If a student comes to a teacher in Doksan and says, you know, I had the weirdest dream last night. I thought I was at Maitreya's place, and they put me in the third seat and then announced that I was to give the talk in front of this huge crowd of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas from all over. So I struck with a gavel and said, the Dharma of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully. Would Yangshan's teacher approve? For myself, I don't think I would, not if he presented it in that way. Interesting dream. Keep working. How then might Yang Shan have spoken of this dream? What manner of presentation would Gui Shan approve? Did Yang Shan look upon his dream as some nighttime fantasy that just came up? The experience is what it is. And as with all our experiences, it was formed and informed by all past experiences and therefore is also a reflection of our practice or lack thereof. Yang Shan dreamed a dream. He thought he went to Maitreya's place and sat down in the third seat. A monk struck with a gavel and announced, "Today the talk will be given by the monk of the third seat." Yang Shan stood up, struck with a gavel, and said, "The Dharma of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully." This may be a dream, but it is not dreamy in the usual sense. Robert Aitken Roshi writes of Zen Master Raven, who said, "We are children in the dream of Shakyamuni." Children in the dream of Shakyamuni. And what is this dream of Shakyamuni? I and all beings have in this moment attained the way. The German mystic Meister Eckhart wrote, "The eye with which I see God is the eye with which God sees me." The Buddha's dream of me and my dream of the Buddha, they are not separate. This dream of Yang Shan's, it too is the Buddha's dream within a dream. It is a dream we all share. Dogen writes, "There is no liberation other than expression of dream within a dream." In the Lotus Sutra, the Buddha says, "In the dream you are made king, then forsake palace and household entourage along with utmost satisfaction of the five sense desires, and travel to the site of practice under the Bodhi tree. On the lion's seat, in search of the way, after 7 days you attain the wisdom of the Buddhas, completing the unsurpassable way. Arising and turning the Dharma wheel, you expound the Dharma for the four groups of practitioners throughout thousands of millions of kalpas, expressing the wondrous Dharma free of flaws and liberating innumerable sentient beings. Finally, you enter parinirvana, like the smoke dispersing as the lamp is extinguished." Dogen comments, "All Buddhas hear the Dharma and expound it for others. Such is the fine dream that ever occurs." Ever occurs. A story told over and over from the endless beginning. The Buddha tells his own story as our story, as a dream within a dream. The Buddha is at this moment a dream of dreams, expounding the Dharma. Also, Yang Shan. Also, you yourself, in the heart of your being, expound the Dharma dream. But Dogen goes on with this warning. "People in the past and present mistakenly think that mere night dreams may become like this dream of Buddhas. Shakyamuni Buddha and all the Buddhas and ancestors each arouse mind, cultivate practice, and attain universal true awakening within a dream." In other words, you still have to work at it. Does this dream of the Buddha contain war, violence, torture, killing and sorrow? Yes. And also remorse, redemption, forgiveness, courage, sacrifice, and compassion. Without the one, what need is there for the other? Do not entertain dreams of a perfect life of peace and calm. That is not looking for life, but for a sterile existence under a bell jar. Do not try to separate out dream from reality. Sometimes we get lost. That too is the dream. In this dream, within a dream, we are born, live, grow old, and die. We are such stuff as dreams are made on. We get weird notions of waking up to something other than something other, something outside this dream. No, the dream is the whole of it. It is when we don't realize this, when we attach to dreams, when we chase after them or run from them, that is when the dream becomes a nightmare. Wu Men's commentary. Now tell me, did he give a perfect talk or did he not? If you open your mouth, you will lose it. If you shut your mouth, you will also miss it. And even if you neither open nor shut your mouth, you are 108,000 miles away from reality. The Dharma of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. The four propositions that Yang Shan refers to are the notions of one, many, existing, and non-existing. As one commentator put it, if you take all the negatives of each proposition, add them up in past, present, future, and then swindle a bit, you can come up with 100 negations. All of which is to say that philosophical exercises of that sort can never reach it. Yang Shan expresses his practice realization. He strikes with a gavel and calls out, the Dharma of the Mahayana is beyond the four propositions and transcends the 100 negations. Listen carefully. In this dream of dreams that we call our existence, each one of us expresses our practice realization. How? When the bell rings, we bow, straighten mats and cushions, and do kinhin. We go to Orioki, Samu, rest, return to our zazen. All the while, listen carefully. Wu Men's verse. Broad daylight under a blue sky, he expounds a dream while yet a dream. Humbug, humbug, he deceived the whole audience. Oh, come on now. Yang Shan deceived Maitreya and all that gang of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. How is it that any of us are deceived? It is really only when we have expectations. Those heavyweights at Maitreya's place have expectations? Of what? What do they expect? A long, rambling discourse like this one. Terrified silence. When did a real teacher ever give an expected answer? Young Men was asked to give a teisho. So he stepped up to the rostrum and said, "Be careful," and stepped down. Case number 7 in the Shoyoroku. Yao Shan had not ascended the rostrum for a long time. The head monk said, "All the monks have been anxious for instruction for a long time. Please, Your Reverence, won't you give a sermon?" Yao Shan ordered the bell and drum. The assembly gathered. Yao Shan ascended the rostrum, and after sitting there for a while, he descended and returned to his room. The head monk followed him and asked, "You consented to give a sermon. How is it that you uttered not a word?" Yao Shan said, "For sutras, there are sutra specialists. For shastras, there are shastra specialists. Why do you wonder at this old monk?" Case 92 in the Hekigan Roku. One day the world honored one took his seat on the platform. Manjusri struck the table with the gavel and said, "Clearly understand the Dharma of the King of the Dharma. The Dharma of the King of the Dharma is like this." The world honored one descended from his seat. So, Yang Shan, like all these worthies, had the integrity and the guts to express his Dharma in a dream within a dream, no more, no less, and then let it go. Unlike some of us who feel this weird compulsion to rattle on for 40 minutes or more. Talk about confidence. That's a very strong point in his favor. He didn't run on and on. No wonder Gui Shan was convinced. But furthermore, in his commentary on this case, Shibayama Roshi writes, "In other Zen texts, Yang Shan's 'listen carefully' in the koan is followed by 'all the monks were dispersed.' This sentence is generally interpreted as implying that all the audience left rejoicing in Yang Shan's talk. But Master Ekaku of Roya asks, 'Tell me, did they approve of Yang Shan or did they not? If you say they did approve him, you have not understood Yang Shan. If you say they did not approve him, you may raise a disturbance in a peaceful land.'" All the monks were dispersed. All those Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that normally hang out with Maitreya, all gone. Even Maitreya himself has left the building. What happened? This, to me, is the touchstone of Gui Shan's evaluation of Yang Shan's dream. In case 42 in the Wu Men Guan, "Once in ancient times, the world honored one came to the place where many Buddhas were assembled. When Manjusri arrived, the Buddhas all returned to their original places." Manjusri arrived, and everybody returned to their original places. Yang Shan said, "Be careful," and the crowd dispersed. What happens when a true teaching is presented? It is the work of the teacher to disperse. To disperse all the notions and images that we habitually carry, including those of Buddhas bodhisattvas and ancestral teachers. Perhaps Gui Shan could have tested Yang Shan a bit. Oh, yeah? Nice dream, but what happened after you gave your talk? How should Yang Shan respond? How would you respond? My favorite poet, Wendell Berry, writes, "One day I walked imagining what work I might do here, the place once dark made clear by work and thought, my managing, the world thus made more dear. I walked and dreamed the sun in clouds, dreamer and day at odds. The world in its great mystery was hidden by my dream. Today I make no claim. I dream of what is here, the tree beside the falling stream, the stone, the light upon the stone, and day and dream are one." Yes. If we turn our attention to the dream of here and now, it becomes clear. In this dream within a dream, we are born, we live, love, grow old, fall ill, and die. This is the full expression of the dream within a dream. Every moment of our practice is the full expression of the dream within a dream. It is Wendell Berry's dream, Yang Shan's dream, Shakyamuni's dream, and yours and mine. Together with all beings, we realize Buddhahood.